Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today, I want to talk about a phenomenon that I notice a lot in my work and in the groups that I run, and initially in my own experience, that when I started to see more about how the mind works, when I started to become more conscious of the inner world, the what was going on in my head and not just what was going on outside my body. When I had my first big insight and really saw that, no, even though I had struggled with depression and suicidal ideation for much of my life, that there was nothing wrong with me, that I wasn't mentally ill, I just thought I was. For a while, everything seemed better. Like it was a relief, it was a weight off my mind. But on the other hand, I noticed that my tolerance for stress went through the floor. I couldn't handle any stress anymore. And it really disturbed me because I had been taught that your capacity to tolerate stress was a key determinant of success. That if you were going to be successful, you had to be the one who could take the most stress. There was a quote I used to have over my desk from Jim Rohn that said, "Don't wish it was easier, wish you were tougher." And so my whole approach to life was built on, I can handle it. And then I suddenly couldn't. And I really thought, oh God, this is terrible. What's happened? And one of my mentors pointed out to me, oh no, that's not terrible. That's what happens when you finally start to notice just how toxic the feelings we've gotten used to in ourselves are, the constant background stress, the constant background pressure, the constant background anxiety, is something that we get used to. And when suddenly you wake up to it, it's so uncomfortable, you don't want to be in it anymore. And since it isn't a function of the world, you're not stuck with it, it's a function of thought, of habitual thought in the moment. Stressful thinking creates stressful feeling. Pressing down on yourself creates pressure and ultimately depression. Anxious thinking creates anxious feeling. Then becoming intolerant of it doesn't mean you're cursed, which is how it felt to me. It means you don't have to keep doing that. You don't have to keep scaring yourself and worrying yourself and pressing on yourself and stressing yourself. One of my students had an experience where they were learning about on one of our courses. We talk a lot on our courses about listening and about what it is to just listen, not listen to show that you're listening, not listen to affirm, not listen to repeat back, not listen to intervene, but just to listen. And he was talking about, after he'd learned about listening, he worked with a client, and he said it was the worst session he had ever done because all he noticed the whole session was how noisy his own head was and how terrible a job he was doing at listening to the client because he was listening to the noise in his head, to the point where as the session was getting towards the end, he was thinking about, boy, do I have to refund this client's, all this client's money, or could I just refund them for this session? Until at the end of the session, the client said, "Hey, I just want to tell you, I've never been listened to that well in my life, and I want to thank you." And he was confused. Like, to him, it seemed like that was the worst listening he had ever done. But the reason why seeing more sometimes make it seem like things are worse, there's two ways that I kind of tend to explain it. One is with the metaphor of a parabolic microphone. If you've ever seen a sporting event, you'll see that usually the sound guys on the sideline have a microphone, and it's got this weird sort of like semicircle of, I don't know if it's plastic or fiberglass or what it's made of, around it. And what it does is the side that has that shield, it blocks the noise out, whereas the side that the microphone is open to, it turns the noise up. So they generally will have it aimed away from the fans in the stands and towards what's happening on the field. And it's like taking one of those parabolic microphones and suddenly, instead of having it aimed at the world so that you don't hear anything that's going on in you and you just hear what's going on outside you, suddenly, as you start to see how the mind works and how we're continually thinking and feeling and thinking and feeling and thinking and feeling, it gets so loud that it feels like, oh my God, it's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten worse. You've just noticed for the first time how loud it always is in there, how busy our minds tend to be until we notice their busyness. Now, the other metaphor I'll sometimes use to explain it is the idea of the boiling frog. Now, I've been told that scientifically this is inaccurate and it does not actually happen this way, but I love it as a metaphor anyways, which is the idea that if you put a frog in water and you gradually turn up the heat under the water, just like 1 degree at a time, the frog will get used to the water until it boils alive. But if at any point, as the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter, a frog from outside the water jumps into the water, it will immediately jump back out. He's like, well, that's hot. That's terrible. And metaphorically, it points to just part of the capacity that we have is we can get used to anything. And that's a great adaptive quality up to a point. If stress were a property of the world, then our capacity to get used to high levels of stress would be incredibly helpful. If pressure was just a function of trying to be in the world, then our capacity to handle pressure would be fantastic. If fear was inevitable, if worry was inevitable, then having a high tolerance for fear and worry, great skill. But if all of those feelings are a function of thought, we may not be in control of them, but we don't have to think that. And when we catch ourselves thinking that, we can usually stop. Then having a lower tolerance, becoming intolerant of those feelings, is a gift. It's like setting the thermostat so that instead of it having to swing 20 degrees either way before the heating or the cooling switches on, it only has to go 1 or 2 degrees before the system returns itself to well-being, to equilibrium, to center. So if you've had the experience, as you've listened and studied and read and explored this domain of the inside-out understanding of the three principles of well-being and spirituality and psychological well-being and healthy psychological functioning, and you've noticed that you're becoming intolerant of stress in yourself, of fear, of anxiety, of pressure, that's the best sign of progress that I know. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.